Your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio. I am Farm Director Joe Gill. Your report brought to you by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service, right off I-94 in Avon. On Friday during noontime news, Lucas Shostrom, Executive Director with Minnesota Milk, joining us, and not necessarily talking milk, but talking feedlots and possible feedlot changes here in the state. There have been some informational sessions held in Little Falls and also in Painesville, but Lucas had a chance to give us some insight as he had a chance to attend those meetings. And there is the first comment period, actually a comment period prior to the actual comment period, which is open. There is a initial deadline approaching next week, and Lucas filled us out and filled us in on some of the background regarding this current feedlot situation and discussion here in Minnesota.
Well, it's a confusing process because it's not going to be done tomorrow or next year, or even 3 years from now, most likely. But this is a rewrite of all of the feedlot rules in the state. And usually when we're talking about that, we're talking about the largest category of farms, those with 1,000 animal units and more. And this is probably not going to affect those farms. It could, but those farms have a book of rules, you know, 18 pages long, and they have to follow it, and they are. But I suspect that this effort is to pull the rest of the farms, those under 1,000 animal units, so under about 700 cows, up closer to that level. And so it's going to affect every farm in Minnesota in some way, shape, or form if the rules are new and definitely if they're more stringent. And we all want to do well by the environment, but logistically and economically, the way you do that matters of whether you can stay in business or not. So we have comments due, Joe, July 22nd for this, and you can comment at the MPCA website or people can get in touch with me. But, I mean, in this permit for larger farms, we're talking about impervious surfaces for calf hutches. So that would mean things like concrete under all your calf hutches, impervious surfaces, and collecting everything under feed pads and silage bags. And then, of course, telling you what time of year and how much you can put on in manure, especially in the winter. So if you're in a daily haul situation, we worry this could eliminate that. Now, the confusing part, and I'll be quiet here, Joe, in case you have more questions, but the confusing part is this is the comment period before the comment period. So everything I just said is making stuff up. MPCA has just kind of come to us and said, we're gonna probably change the rules. What we want comments on is what we should change or not change. So this is our opportunity to kind of set parameters and say, hey, this is something we should not touch, or this is something that won't work for me. Or I hope farmers can also focus on, here's some of the things that we've done since 1999, the last time we updated these rules. And you don't need to write rules so much in this category because we're doing all these things voluntarily at today's modern farms.
You know, Lucas, usually we see a proposal for change because something is wrong. That's not necessarily the case, or would you say, I mean, are farmers falling short, therefore we need this? Or, like you said, too, it kind of seems like it's going above and beyond, especially for those maybe more smaller farms.
Yeah, I think there's two main reasons for this. And MPCA, they had a meeting in Painesville, was the closest one to the Chasm area, along with, there was one right in Little Falls that many of your listeners may have attended. But those meetings are over. There is a webinar online. And in those meetings, they basically pointed to two things. One, we have not updated these since 1999. If anyone remembers kind of the feedlot wars of the late 90s, this was the end of that, was rewriting the feedlot rules in 1999, implementing them in 2000, 2001. So that's their first reason, is it's been 25 years. And the second reason is, they can't point right to it, but they are justifying some new rules on the petition to the EPA in southeast Minnesota. Of course, that's not most of the Chasm listenership. But those are the two reasons, Joe. In other words, you can say it's been a while, and environmentalist scrutiny due to a petition in southeast Minnesota to the EPA. So that's why we are where we are, which, of course, we're arguing that basis in the first place. But that's all we're going off of right now.
I did not have a chance to attend the Painesville meeting. Did you have a chance to go? If not, did you hear any feedback from other farmers or those who had a chance to take it in, or?
Yeah, I think like I said at the beginning, I was able to attend in Little Falls and Painesville, and like I said at the beginning, I think the worry here is that we're used to rules that affect the largest farms in our state, those with 1,000 animal units and up, And that category has just had more and more rules put on them over the past 15 years. And, you know, some of them are maybe justified. Those are different types of farms. And some of them, I would argue, probably aren't so scientific, but they look nice and those farmers are complying. But this is a rewrite for the rest. And I think the feedback I got was at the meetings, this is manure focused, but what about commercial fertilizer? And I think that's a very valid question. And I know different parts of state government are looking at that. But just looking at the crowds in both Painesville and Little Falls, the number of farms under 1,000 animal units there, probably because of the time of day. I mean, they were late in the afternoon and mid-morning, and just busy times for us in the middle of the summer. The people who should have been there and will be most affected could not probably be at the meetings. So that's the feedback, is I think most of my friends in the industry who are going to be affected probably haven't even had a chance to hear why they're proposing what they're proposing, which, to our earlier comments, they don't have a proposal yet. They're just thinking about what we're proposing. But we have the chance now to set the parameters of, don't touch that, you're already going too far on this, or, hey, we have this covered with all the voluntary things we've done in the past 25 years. Right. So that would be some of the feedback I've received.
I know I've reached out to MPCA, too, and I've gotten some feedback, but still hoping to get them and discuss from their point of view as well on the radio, too, so hope to do that in the near future. But you mentioned comment period, Lucas, and I think some people might still get overwhelmed by that. Well, geez, do I got to sit down and write a paper? I haven't wrote a paper since junior high type thing, but it can be as simple as an email, or do they have to be submitted written, or what, Lucas?
Yeah, there's a specific portal. You need to put them in online, and we can help you get them there if that's the problem. But it's relatively easy. But no paper, no paragraphs even. What MPCA wants is from you, from all of us, tangible notes, you could say. Two or three sentences would do it, of, hey, please don't do this because it will literally allow me not to financially operate my farm. I think putting impervious surfaces under calf hutches would be a great example. Being able to spread manure during the winter months would be another example. And just saying things like, if you do this, you know, putting impervious surfaces under calf hutches or feed pads, or making me collect all my feed pad runoff, first of all, it would put me out of business. But second of all, the financial effects from a farm environmental effects from a farm my size are so minimal that it wouldn't be worth the cost in the first place. So that could be the whole comment, Joe, of the topic that you're worried about. Next week in our member emails and on social media, we'll be probably doing one every other day of these topics I just covered. And so, yeah, that's all we're asking, is people saying financials are hard enough right now. If things cost money, you are going to put me out of business, and that could be the whole comment.
You know, Lucas, just finally, too, a plug for membership, and that's membership's important there for you. Have yourself and other staff folks, you know, speaking up in instances like this when you can't be at a meeting or you're making hay or doing chores. So a big plug for membership there.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we will certainly be submitting comprehensive comments on behalf of Minnesota Milk. We're also submitting comprehensive comments on behalf of every agricultural organization in the state. We just met this morning, and I think we have a great plan. But MPCA has said over and over, they want to hear from individual farmers. They do care about what we say as farm groups, but here they want to make sure that they're representing everyone. So the more individual farmers who, like I said, generally were not at these meetings and are not often the ones regulated, the more they can step up and say, this costs too much and will put me out of business, as tragic as that would be, that could be really helpful today.
Lucas Sjostrom joining us. Lucas, always appreciate your time. You have a bucket load of knowledge, and thanks for sharing that with our listeners. If folks have questions, I'm sure they can reach out to you or Minnesota Milk or a lot of folks and kind of further expand the conversation.
Yep, absolutely. Anytime, Joe.
Lucas Sjostrom, Executive Director with Minnesota Milk, joining us here on Chasm Radio, your central Minnesota Farm Report. It's brought to you by Mid-Soda Trailer Sales and Service.